Dude.
Yeah.
Dude!
What?
I just had a terrible thought.
So I got a scale today.
Finally.
Yeah. If you listen to the past episodes, I said I was going to give updates on my weight, and I know you've all been waiting with bated breath. So I got a scale. And I wanted to be in top form when I stood on the scale for the weigh-in. So I stopped at McDonald's on the way home from getting the scale. And I was eating the food in the car. And I had this, I ordered a double quarter pounder with cheese and a large fry and a large Coke. Because, you know, that's what you do.
It's delicious.
And I had a leftover zesty sauce from Burger King in my glove compartment. So I was dipping my McDonald's French fries in Burger King zesty sauce, which was hot because it was kind of naughty, you know? And all I could think about was Ronald McDonald walking in on me. And, you know, you wouldn't be able to tell by the look on his face, but you could just tell that he's disappointed. And, you know, and he's all like, Kyle, I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed. I'm all like, Ronald, I'm sorry. It's not what you think. He's like, it's over. It's over, Kyle. I'm like, Ronald, think about the fry kids. I just can't do this anymore. Ronald, no, you know. So then he leaves, and, you know, and of course our friends say that they're not going to take sides, but of course they do. So, you know, I end up with, like, the Hamburglar because, you know, he's got questionable morals to begin with. Ronald gets Birdie and Grimace and the Fry Kids.
Fucking Grimace.
He gets the McNuggets and Mayor McCheese, and I'm stuck with, you know, the Hamburglar, and my heart's broken, and I hit rock bottom, and I end up drunk at Long John Silver's, hitting on the little fish in their logo, because that's the only place where they don't know me and they don't judge me.
Well, I'm glad you got a scale, Kyle. I'm proud of you.
Oh, yeah, that's what we were talking about. Sorry, I get lost in these fantasies. So I got a scale, and I just, right before the podcast, I weighed myself, and I stripped down to my undies and my socks, because I wanted to be as accurate as possible.
Yeah.
But I don't like to be naked, ever, because, you know. So I stepped on the scale, and it said I weighed 234 pounds.
Ow!
So not quite the 240 that was my heaviest ever, but I'm on my way. I haven't started doing anything, obviously, because of McDonald's, to counteract the steady increase in weight. But I'm thinking about it semi-seriously.
Yeah, go for it.
While we're on the topic of things we've talked about in previous episodes,
yes,
I wanted to mention that the friend we talked about in the first episode, you might remember we were talking about liars and exaggerators, and we talked about a friend of ours that had a story about an uncle that told him that when he was a baby in the womb, he took a crap, and the crap settled on his arm and dyed his skin.
Stained his skin.
And gave him a birthmark. And that friend happened to listen to the podcast, and he sent us an email.
Yeah.
And I wanted to respond to that now. I'm going to read part of the email. I'm still not going to give his name out because I don't know if he'd want me to do that or not. But
yeah.
So the email says, first of all, I hope you keep your podcast going because I prefer your filthy-mouthed, concise analysis of banality over that of Howard Stern. Seriously, it's good stuff. Also, Kyle, you were right about two things. First, that the arm birthmark slash poop in the womb thing is bullshit. Second, I didn't think better of it until I was in college, honestly. I wasn't old enough to have a real opinion, influenced as I was by someone who I thought had some grasp on the world. Who told me? None other than one, and then he gives his uncle's name, which I'm not going to give out. And then in parentheses he says, who is kind of an asshole, as it turns out. Unfortunately, I really did believe him. Why did I trust him automatically? PhD in teaching at university in Chicago more than anything. Does he exist? You judge for yourself. And then he gave me three links, proving that his uncle is, in fact, a real person. And I checked him out, and he is. And he says, I also wanted to say that, yeah, I was full of shit in high school. I mean, being an asshole was one thing, which I was. But my blatant lies, and in parentheses, the endless uncles, weren't much else than yarns I was trying to unravel to suit my own imagination. Anyhow, I just wanted to say that I'm certainly not upset, but wanted to clear things up now that we're all adults. I respect you both and care about you both. All right, guys, keep it up. Love. And then he says his name. So I just wanted to read that because I wanted to acknowledge that he acknowledges that he was, in fact, full of shit. And that it turns out that it kind of was what I thought it might have been, which was that somebody told him this. And at the time, he had no reason to question it. You know, time passed and he just had never questioned it. And then he regurgitated the information and turns out he was full of shit, but he didn't realize it at the time. So, and I don't know if this is how it went down or not, but I know if it had been me and I did that and somebody said, you're full of shit, my initial reaction might have been to defend myself, you know, to be like, well, you're whatever, dude. You know, so I can see how that went down. I just wanted to clear that up because I know I mentioned in the last episode, or not the last episode, but the first episode, that, you know, we are still friends. I still consider him a friend, and I'm not mad at him, and I hope he wasn't mad at us, which he isn't. But still, I wanted to make it clear that, you know, we're still buddies. So, with that out of the way, we're drinking some beers.
Yeah, we are. Let's talk about drunk stories.
Yeah, drunk stories.
Yeah, we got some good ones.
You got any in mind?
Are you kidding me? Oh, man, this... Kyle, when did you start drinking, Kyle?
I started drinking, I believe.
You started late.
Yeah, I did start late. Well, okay, maybe I should back up a little bit. Because in high school, all of our friends, really, we didn't drink.
We didn't drink.
And we were kind of anti-drinking, or at least that's the impression that I got. Maybe you weren't, but you weren't very vocal in high school, though.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have known if you were or not. But most of my friends didn't drink and were kind of, you know, drinking is stupid. People get drunk and, that's dumb. So... when high school was over and everybody kind of went their separate ways, and we still kept in touch and everything, but we weren't seeing each other as often, and everybody started drinking but me, and I was still clinging to this idea of, you know, alcohol stupid, you guys are all stupid. So then when I kept hearing about it, I'd almost get angry because you guys were all just fucking abandoning me. And so I clung to this for way longer than I should have. And so I was like 22, I think.
22.
When I started drinking.
I hope the cool community isn't listening. Because they're gonna kick you out.
Yeah, I don't know if they ever let me in, but but yeah, so I was pretty old.
But I got a story. I want to start off the story. We were at a bar called PlayStation.
Yeah. Wait, I think I know this story.
You remember? I don't think you know the story. Well, Kyle had just broken up with his girlfriend,
right?
And we went out to the bar, and we were with a few friends.
She dumped me, for the record. That's kind of important because I was a little upset.
That's a good point, yeah. And Kyle kept ordering shots. He must have tried every kind of liquor that night. But at some point, when he was, you know, feeling it, he started ordering everybody Jaeger bombs.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Well, I started out with beer that night because I had driven myself, and I was just going to drink a little. I wasn't going to get drunk because I knew I was going to have to drive myself home. But I wasn't in the best state of mind at the time, and at some point in the night, I just decided, fuck it. I don't care how I'm getting home. I don't care if I fall asleep
upset,
in the parking lot
break
and sleep
up.
It off.
Yeah. So anyway, he's buying Jaeger bombs for everybody, and we're all kind of thinking the same thing. You know, we got to drive ourselves home, but he keeps buying shots and drinks, and he gets pretty fucked up. And this is like, this is a bar that's in a part of town where everyone there is a regular.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they had karaoke going. Everybody knows everybody. Yeah, we were the strangers.
I definitely felt like a foreigner.
And they had karaoke going on. Kyle's fucking wasted.
Yeah.
And some regular was up on stage, you know, singing his song. And Kyle and a buddy were blitzed. And they start singing their own song. They start ad-libbing over the song. Really fucking loud. Loud enough to where you can't even really hear the guy in the mic.
To give you an idea of how drunk I was at this point, I had been buying shots all around. Like, I'd been buying rounds for everybody of Jaeger
bombs. Yeah, I think
bombs.
I jumped ahead, yeah.
I've been buying Jaeger bombs all around. And the first round, or maybe the first two rounds, people took them, and they were like, oh, thanks, dude. And they drank them. But then I kept doing it, and people weren't drinking them anymore.
Yeah, we cut ourselves off.
So I would end up drinking them. Yeah, oh, man. I left this bar, and bear in mind, this is like bumfuck Michigan, so it's not like a expensive city or anything. I ended up leaving this bar, I heard later on, with like an
$80 tab.
So it's not like this was some fancy place where all the drinks were expensive. I just spent...
Yeah, it wasn't terrible. Yeah, I was out in the middle of nowhere. But anyways, they were singing over this guy on stage, and everybody in the place turns and looks at Kyle and his buddy singing. And they're singing, you know, in sync, like, not in sync, but in sync. Over this song, like, I'm gonna crash into a tree. And his buddy will go, I'm so drunk, I'm gonna die tonight. And then his friend would go, die tonight.
Yeah.
But it was so loud.
Really loud.
And there was a lot of skinheads there, too. You notice that?
Yeah, that was weird.
There you
was
remember this one that guy part? That you were pretty gone, but
there was this short, stocky guy, skinhead guy that seemed pissed off all night.
And I was really pissed at you all night.
I thought I was going to get in a fight that night, and I've never been in a fight, so I probably would have got my ass kicked.
You're getting pretty rowdy. Yeah.
But I remember, like, I was standing in this guy's way at one point, and I don't know. When I get drunk, I'm pretty sarcastic, and I don't remember what I said to him, but I remember thinking he was going to punch me.
Yeah, he was the guy.
And that was when I could still remember what was going on, so that was relatively early on.
I'm amazed you can remember that. But the guy, he was just cleaning up after everybody, you know, cleaning tables, and then he'd go back, you know, behind the bar, but there was this little area to get to the back of the bar, and Kyle kept standing in the way, and as the guy's coming in and out, he'd constantly have to say, you know, can you get out of my way? And he got really pissed towards the end of the night. And eventually, speaking of karaoke, you signed up to sing.
Yeah, oh, this I don't remember. I just heard about
this
later.
You were fucking gone. And after God knows how long we were there and you were just fucked up, we go to take you home because you were not driving that night. We go to take you home. And as we leave, as we step out the door, they're like, would Kyle please come to the front? Kyle. And I was so scared you were going to hear your name and go, hold on, guys. I gotta.
It was me and that buddy. We had both signed up.
Oh, you both. Yeah.
So they called both of our names.
So we ended up leaving, and my fiance is driving Kyle in his car, and I'm driving our car, and I'm following my fiance, who's driving Kyle,
right.
And he's just out of it. And we're on our way home, we're on the highway, and I get a call, and I pick up, and Aldi goes, oh my God, he just threw up all over the place.
Yeah.
And I'm laughing, looking at the car in front of me, you know, they're in front of me, and she's kind of swerving around like, oh my God, do I pull over? I don't know. And later on, afterwards, she told me that you were just sitting there sleeping, you know, you were
head back
in the passenger seat, just kind of sitting there, and all of a sudden, and you projectiled onto the ceiling,
yeah,
kind of woke yourself up, tilted your head down and puked all over your dash.
Yeah.
Into the
it was kind of a like it was kind of a rainbow. Like yeah. And I don't remember this, but I saw the aftermath the next morning.
Yeah, we dropped him off. He woke up the next morning. And did you have to work that day?
I don't think I did, but I woke up the next morning on the couch at my place. And
probably had puke all over you.
And I had puke on myself, and I'm looking at my shirt going, how did I get here, and what the hell happened?
What the fuck happened, yeah.
And it was a little while before I went out to my car, and when I went out to my car, it looked like somebody had smeared applesauce in a big arc all over the ceiling and all down the dashboard.
Oh, man, I'm sorry I couldn't clean
all
that up
over
for
the
you.
I'm glad you didn't, because I would have felt extra bad.
But it went into the vents and, like, so he went to turn on, like, the heat, because this was in winter. He turned on the heat, and there's, like, dried vomit in the vents, so he could just smell, like, hot, old, stenchy vomit.
Surprisingly, it wasn't that bad. It was a bitch to clean up, but it wasn't that smelly.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, you probably had mostly booze in you, so it wasn't like you ate pizza and then threw it all out.
It looked like applesauce. I don't know what I had eaten that day.
Yeah.
But it looked like applesauce all over the place, like extra chunky applesauce.
It was like that. Remember, was it New Year's? No. What were we? You were over. And I know if anyone's had Jaeger.
Oh, man, Jaeger. Jaeger is my kryptonite.
Is kryptonite. And by that, I mean anyone who drinks Jaeger will become the Incredible Hulk. You will eventually start to feel your vision fade back into your head. You will black out, and you will become God knows what.
Jaeger brings out an entirely different person.
You could be a crier. Who knows?
Luckily, I'm not a crier, and at least not yet. But
and you're not an asshole, thank God. You're very sweet.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
Well, like I remember there was one time I was over at your guys' place, and your girlfriend, your fiance, had these pajama pants on. I don't even remember what's on them. Are they polka dotted, or do they have like hearts?
They're just hearts, black and red
hearts all over
on
them.
Pink pajamas.
Yeah. They have hearts all over them. And I only know about this because I saw a video of it later.
Oh, yeah.
I was completely trashed on Jaeger, and I was like petting her pajama pants and talking about how awesome they were. I love these pants.
But he was going on a rant, like this philosophy of why they're so cool and they feel nice. And it went really deep.
The one line
he
I
was
remember.
Critically thinking about
that. The one line that I remember from the video that I thought was funny was, I said to you at some point, I said, Orion, these belong to you, but they belong to the whole world. And I don't know what I meant by that.
Well, you're fucked up, yeah. And they're, oh man, Kyle and his stories.
Well, okay, there was the time, the same girlfriend that broke up with me that I got shit-faced at the PlayStation and was singing over the other guy doing karaoke. But before we broke up, we were at this dance bar. Bar with a big dance floor.
Was it a club?
No, it wasn't really a club, but clubbing? It was a bar with a dance floor.
Okay.
And they were playing music and stuff, and people were dancing. And it was a Halloween party kind of thing. And I had dressed up as Hello Kitty, which for me meant that I drew whiskers and a nose, like a little black nose on my face. And I had a little cardboard cutout red bow in my hair. And that was the whole costume. Because I didn't know what to dress up as. I thought it'd be funny.
Yeah.
But so we're at this bar, and I'm wasted. I'm completely trashed. I don't remember much of this at all. But I'm going out on the dance floor and talking to random people that I don't know. And like asking them how long they've been together and stuff. And asking if I can cut in, which I don't think anybody let me do. And at some point a bouncer comes by and they were playing this song. I don't know who it's by. And I don't know any of the words except that the chorus is like, suicidal, suicidal. And the bartender comes by. Or not the bartender, the bouncer. The bouncer walks by, which is this big, burly dude, bald head. And I started singing it to him as he's going by, right in his face. Suicidal, suicidal. And apparently he left me alone.
Oh, was he there to kick you out? You probably
don't
remember.
I don't think so. But I don't remember. That's the thing. I vaguely remember the suicidal thing. But then I went back to the table with my girlfriend and I had my head down because I was really, really drunk and I was feeling it and I wasn't feeling that great.
Down for the count.
And she always had this thing, and I don't know if this is true or not, but she is paranoid that if you put your head down in a bar, you'll get kicked out. And
I don't know if that's true, yeah.
Maybe somebody can let me know. Is that really the case?
Like, yeah.
But
he's got to go.
She told me I had to pick my head up or we'd get kicked out. So I picked my head up and I looked her in the eye and I said, none of your business. And then I puked all over her. Maybe in retrospect, this had something to do with why she dumped me.
My best drunk story. We were at that that party at her house that she hosted every year.
Okay, my ex-girlfriend's house.
A fuckload of people would come. It was like, you know, the kind of party you see on, you know, in the movies.
Yeah, just there was a lot of
fucking so many people there.
She lived out in the country, and she lived in like a guest house on her parents' property, and they had a farm. So there was a lot of land around, and she would have like a bonfire and stuff.
Yeah, we could be real loud and rowdy.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many people there. You know, you couldn't get to know anyone. Really?
there were a lot of people I didn't know there.
But anyway, after the party, everybody's leaving, you know, me and this guy just kind of start talking. And, you know, we got into one of those real stupid, drunk,
like deep conversations.
Yeah, like deep conversations. But it led to the, and I don't know if anyone else has done this, but you get to that point where you're so fucking wasted. And it's usually guys where you're like, dude, hit me. Come on. Just fucking hit me.
Little Fight Club action.
Little Fight Club action.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I hit him and he hits me and we go back and forth.
How many times did you go back and forth? Because I thought it was only, I honestly thought you only hit him.
No. I can't say how many times because by this point, you know, at the end of the party, I was fucking gone.
But it was at least like a couple times.
But I do remember, at some point, we got to hitting each other so hard, we got into a scuffle.
And were you going for the face or the body?
It was only the face.
Only the face.
Yeah,
perfect.
Right in the jaw. Yeah, let's see if we can. But anyway, at some point, we got into a scuffle and we're wrestling on the ground. And I pin him down and he hits me. And then I hit him really fucking hard.
I didn't know you had him pinned.
I think I had him pinned. I'm not sure.
That's
awesome. I might have to ask him. I'm not certain on this.
Anyway, I don't want to ruin the story.
All I know is...
That's awesome. That makes it better.
All I know is that I hit him so fucking hard that his tooth, his back molar came out. I knocked it out.
Did the whole tooth come out? I thought he just chipped a tooth.
Was it a chip?
I don't know. You were the one that was there.
God, I was so gone. And I haven't really talked to him about it because, you know, it's kind of awkward. But I knocked something out, a chip of a tooth or something, and he spits it out, and we look at each other, and I grab it out of his hand, and I swallow it. And I look him deep in the eyes, and we had a moment, and I said, and I grabbed his hand like a bro, and I said, Now we are one.
So awesome.
Fuck.
I wish I could have seen that. That's so great.
That's probably, oh, man. But
I think that tops any of mine. I mean, I have stories where I got really, really, really wasted, but I don't have any stories where I ate some guy's tooth and told him we're one.
Well, shit, you befriended this guy. Well, he was a friend of, you know, your girlfriend.
He was a friend of my ex-girlfriend's from high school.
Yeah.
And she used to have a huge crush on him in high school, and she would tell me about it. And this was the first time I ever met him. Like, they just randomly encountered each other, and she was like, oh, you should come to my party, and that's why he showed up.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, we became friends, and I started hanging out with him and stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember you didn't want to come around whenever he'd be around.
It was
awkward.
You
were afraid he was mad at you or whatever.
Yeah, I thought he was going to kill
me. And I kept telling you that he said he's fine with it, dude. You were both wasted, and it was both of your idea.
Thought he was fucking lying. Like, just get him over here.
Just get him over. Like, I'd set you up like that. But, yeah, so I'd be hanging out with him. I actually have stories from hanging out with him because he also lived out in the middle of fucking nowhere. And I'd go over to his place because for a little while I had been living with that girlfriend. And after she dumped me for like a month, I was still living there because I didn't have any other place to go.
Yeah.
So I would spend a lot of time at his place because I just didn't want to be home with my ex-girlfriend that just dumped me.
Yeah, awkward.
Yeah, it's really awkward. So I'd be at his place a lot. And like one time, he had a roommate. And one time I was over there, we all got drunk. And, you know, it's the end of the night. Everybody's going to bed. I'm trying to go to sleep on the couch. And his roommate is just completely trashed. And some people, they get past a certain drunk point. And, you know, alcohol is a sedative. And it's a downer. I don't know if it's a sedative. But anyway, it's a downer. And you drink it and you get kind of sleepy. You get sluggish and it sort of makes you sleepy. But certain people, you get past a certain drunken point and it no longer makes you sleepy. Now you're just up.
Yeah, you're just like, yeah.
And this guy was that kind of guy, and this guy was to that point. So everybody's trying to go to sleep but him. And he keeps saying to everybody, hey, guys, if anybody wants to listen to music, I got music in my room. Somebody, hey, you guys want to come listen to music in my room? I'm serious. We should listen to music in my room. And everybody's like, no, dude, we're going to sleep. It's late. We're going to sleep. He's like, okay. And he'd go back in his room for a little while. And then he'd come back out and he'd go, hey, seriously, I got you guys should come listen to music in my room. It's really
fucking annoying.
You should come listen to music in my room. It's awesome. And we kept saying no, and he kept going back in his room. And eventually, everybody went to sleep but me. Well, I mean, I was trying to go to sleep. I was on the couch. Everybody went to their separate rooms but me, and I was on the couch. And he comes out again, and I think he's in his underwear, too. So he comes out, and he's like, hey, Kyle.
Were you, like, clearly awake?
I was drunk, but I wasn't nearly as drunk as
him. So he came to you.
I was awake. My eyes were open.
Hey, Kyle, hey.
He's like, hey, Kyle. I know you should come listen to music in my room because I have music. And listen, you should come. It's going to be good. You should come and listen. And it's going to be good.
I said, no, Jesus.
Listen, dude, I'm going to sleep. It's nighttime. We're going to sleep. You should go back to your room. Just go to sleep or listen to music by yourself. And eventually you'll go to sleep. He's like,
he's probably trying to invite you to his room. He's like, get some sex on.
I don't know. So he's like, okay. He goes back in his room and I'm trying to sleep on the couch. And he comes back out with this giant lamp. Like one of those lamps that goes from the floor to the ceiling, kind of.
Oh, shit.
And he comes back out with this lamp in his hand, and he sets it down next to me. And he goes, hey, we should hang out. He's got this lamp from his bedroom.
Why the fucking lamp?
I don't know. It's like a...
It's gone.
Like a peace offering? I don't know what it was. We should hang out.
I'm going to Prescott.
We should hang out. You should... I brought you this lamp, you know, because you should come in my room. And, We should listen to music, man. You should come in my room. We should listen to music. Like, dude, I'm trying to sleep. Thanks for the lamp,
Jesus.
But I'm trying to sleep.
Ugh.
And I don't remember if he went back in his room one more time or if it was right then.
I think by that point, but what did you tell me?
At this point, he grabs my ankles and starts pulling me off the couch. And he's like, come on. I'm not taking no for an answer. You should come. We should listen to music. Really, we should hang out. Just come on. And he keeps pulling on my ankles. And I'm like, dude, I'm not. I'm trying to go to sleep. I'm serious. You should go back to your room, go to sleep. And then my other friend, couldn't sleep because of all this. So he comes out of his room.
Yeah, the one that was hosting the party.
Yeah, the one whose house it is. And he's yelling at him, dude, go back into your room. Go to sleep. Go back in your room. And they get into like a fist fight.
Oh, shit.
But the one dude that's trying to get me to go in his room is so far gone that he absolutely lost the fight. It wasn't even a real fight.
Yeah.
But he was putting up his dukes like a 1930s boxer. Like he's got his fist in front of his face.
Waving him around.
Yeah. And so he's waving his fists around in front of his face like he wants to box. And they get in this fist fight. And the other friend manages to get him in his room.
Detained.
Detained. And somehow he locked the door or blocked it off or something. I don't remember. Because he couldn't come back out for the rest of the night. And he
Thank God.
He was shaking his door. Trying to get out. Like he's shaking his door and he's yelling, hey guys, no, come on, I'm good. No,
I got music in there.
I'm good. Come on, let me out. And eventually, you know, he went to sleep eventually.
Yeah.
And we all slept the night through. And the next morning he had no idea.
Blacked out.
He had no idea that any of that had happened. He comes out, we're all awake. He comes out of his room, he's like, Hey guys, and we're all staring at him.
Like, you asshole.
He's like, what?
What's going on?
You don't remember any of last night, do you? No. What do you mean? You were trying to get us all to go into your room to listen to music. You brought a lamp out here.
Did he leave the lamp out?
I don't remember. I think the lamp went back in with him at the end of the night.
Yeah, when you shoved him back in his room.
You brought a lamp out here, and you were grabbing me by the ankles trying to drag me back to your cave.
For gay sex.
Possibly. And that was pretty much the end of it. He was really ashamed of himself, and I don't know what it was he was after exactly. But
butt sex,
maybe. I don't know.
Mm. Another story I have. I was in college, living alone in my studio apartment,
mm-hmm.
and I was living in a house, and the landlord rented out, you know, all the rooms to you know, college kids. The first floor was all one apartment, and there was three guys living there, and they always had parties going on. And this was before I drank, and they would constantly invite me to their parties, whether downstairs or, you know, elsewhere. And one particular time, we went to a party, you know, down the street, and we show up, and I'm feeling awkward, whatever.
Right.
I didn't drink at the time, but they got a keg, you know, they got everything. I'm drinking, I'm getting drunk, but I wasn't a beer drinker.
Right.
And I'm drinking all this beer, you know, like I'm speeding it up. Like I'm just too nervous. I'm not talking to anybody. So I'm just drinking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
And so anyway, I get to the point where I'm like, I'm going to fucking puke. Oh my God. I don't feel good. So I go into one of the bedrooms, lights off, nobody's there. And I'm just trying to calm it down. Don't puke. Don't puke. And I couldn't take it anymore. So I got in line for the bathroom.
Oh, there was a line?
It was all girls, you know.
Of course it was.
And I finally get in. As soon as I shut the door,
oh, man.
I throw up everywhere.
And
it was like applesauce, like yours.
Yeah.
Just everywhere. There was no lock on the door. So I'm quickly, as quick as I can, trying to clean up what I did with their towels.
Oh.
They had no, they ran out of fucking toilet paper.
Oh.
They had nothing. So I used their towels. I clean it up as best I can. It looks nice. You can still kind of smell it. I get out. Some chicks, you know, next in line, of course, takes a piss. I go back out, grab a beer.
Of course you did. Your stomach was empty at this point.
And that chick that was behind me comes out and goes, oh my God, someone fucking puked all over the bathroom and tried to clean it up with a towel. And at this party, there was this guy that nobody really liked. this short, you know, stocky guy.
Right.
That, you know, he was very prestigious and he looked a lot older than he was. He was just, you know. Yeah, nobody liked him. He wasn't interesting. He was full of himself.
Right.
Well, anyway, they fucking blamed that guy for doing it. And the guy's like, what are you talking about? So they end up kicking him out of the party. They had to escort him out. A couple guys grabbed him. They like throw him out because everybody's drunk.
Right.
And I'm just sitting there like.
Yeah.
And I felt so bad.
Well, that's.
For that poor fucking guy.
That's nice. I've never been able to blame my puke on somebody else. It's always been very obvious it was me. I had a big problem when I first started drinking that I had no idea what my limit was.
Yeah, and when you feel awkward, you kind of speed it up.
I had no clue. Drink, yeah. Plus, I drink fast anyway. Like, if you give me a Coke, I'll suck it right down. I just drink fast.
Yeah.
And so, with alcohol, that can be a problem. And, like, when I first started drinking, I would puke. Pretty much every other time I drank.
Yeah, you get to that point, not knowing your limit.
I remember one time I was at your guys' place,
yep.
And I don't remember what we were doing,
Was it the New Year's party?
I don't remember. All I remember,
we had you over and there was Jaeger.
All I remember is there was Jaeger. Yep.
Fucking dick.
I brought a bottle of Jaeger and I was nursing it the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
And at some point, I felt like I was going to throw up. And I got up and I kind of ran to the bathroom, but I sort of passed out mid-run and puked all over the floor and like half of the bathroom floor. And I remember I was half in and half out of the bathroom, passed out on the floor. And you're trying to wake me up, tell me I got to go home.
Yeah,
and
I discovered Kyle. Yeah.
I'm like, just let me sleep. Just 5 more minutes. You know, like.
Yeah. You're at that point where you're fine. And then some douchebag comes along and tries to move you. And you're like, nope. But I found you because you were in the bathroom for a while.
I wasn't even really in the bathroom, though.
You weren't even in the bathroom, but you were gone for a while. And then, you know, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. Okay, he's taking a shit. Okay, you know, 10 minutes go by. Okay, what's wrong? I get up, go. There you are, half in the bathroom. There's fucking puke all over the bathroom. Like you intentionally just took a knife and like opened up your stomach and just let it spew all over. And you were lying down. I felt so bad. I tried to move you. I'm like, you got to go home, dude. And you got up eventually.
Yeah.
And I got you about 5 feet out of the bathroom. And then,
I don't remember that.
You didn't projectile any vomit, thank God. But it gurgled out and you were done. You were out for the count.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. We all know if you get drunk, you black out.
Yeah.
There's a point where you just... And there's two kinds of blacking out from my experience. There's the blacking out where you remember, you know what's going on the entire time, but then you wake up the next day and it's all gone. You know, you forget.
Right.
Then there's the other kind, and Jaeger tends to come into play.
Right.
Where you black out and you're unconscious, but you're walking around, you know, doing shit.
Like sleepwalking.
And puking everywhere and calling people cunts and asshole.
Oh, man.
Fuck you, bitch. And then you wake up the next day not remembering, but you're kind of aware that at some point you just went to sleep inside yourself, you know?
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite drunk stories involves maybe that kind of blackout. I'm not sure, but it's you.
Oh, fuck.
One of my favorite drunk stories ever was the time that you got super, super drunk and you went to bed and you got up at some point. And you wandered over to like the corner or whatever, and your girlfriend's work clothes were on the floor.
Yeah.
And you stripped completely naked.
Yep.
I didn't witness this. I heard about this later. You stripped completely naked. You're standing in the corner over her work clothes, just pissing all over her work clothes.
Yep.
And she wakes up and she looks at you and goes, "What are you doing? Why are you peeing all over my work clothes?" And what did you say?
I said, "Well, if you didn't put them on the floor."
Right.
And before this, I had blacked out, obviously.
Right.
And I don't pee in corners. I don't pee in shoes. You know, you might hear about those stories. But that night, I had a little too much. I had the tequila.
Oh, God.
And I blacked out, but I woke up mid-piss. Like, I'm peeing as I woke up. As I became conscious.
Right.
And I'm peeing on her clothes. And she wakes up and I saw her face. She was like, "What the fuck?" And I made that, you know, remark, which is ridiculous.
Right, right. Oh, if you wouldn't have left him on the floor. Like, it's okay for you to be peeing
on the floor.
And
she had to work the next day. I'm peeing all over her fucking work clothes.
As if you always pee on the floor. Like, that's normal. You should have expected this.
Duh. Yeah. And then.
This is where I go to the bathroom. Why did you leave your clothes in my toilet?
And then I blacked out again. I went out. And after that, I hear. That at some point I strip. No, I was already naked.
Yeah, you're already naked.
I run out of the bedroom and, you know, my fiance is trying to, like, you know, hold me back. Like, "What are you doing? Don't go out there, you know?"
And I was here sleeping in the living room.
Because I have a history. When I get drunk, I tend to go nude and I want to streak.
You
want to
go outside.
Those fucking communists.
Right.
I tend to say, "The fucking communists, I gotta go show them." And I strip naked and I try to get out of the apartment and run naked. But so she's fighting me and then I get out. She just, you know, lets me go. But what a night. Fuck.
Right. Wow. That's one of my favorite stories because I haven't done that yet.
Yeah,
I wouldn't put it past me, but I've heard of other people getting drunk and peeing in corners.
Yeah, who
and
likes that friend? You don't want to invite that guy over. "Yeah, I tend to pee on shit.
Yeah,
I got
yeah.
stories." Yeah.
I I couldn't believe it. I was dying when I heard that the next morning. And of course, she was pissed off because she had to go to work and she didn't have any other clean work clothes. But but that was really, really funny.
I showed her. That's what you get.
Yeah. Why did you leave your clothes on the floor? You know that's where I pee.
Yeah.
It's so fucking ridiculous.
Well, I started drinking at, what were you, 22?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I started drinking at 18, and I had this cousin that would come around when I'm at work, and he would only visit me at work. But anyway, he'd come around. He'd be the kind of guy that's like, so, get any pussy lately?
Right.
You get drunk lately? And, of course, no, you know. I was a very content kid. I was quiet.
Right.
Well-mannered. And one night, he comes by right before I'm closing the party store that I was working at. And he's like, I'm going to get you fucked up tonight. And he was in college, and I'm in high school. So afterwards, I'm like, sure, why not? Fuck it. He takes me to his house where he's living with all these roommates.
Right.
And he gets me fucked up. He, you know, he buys a fifth of Stolichny, and he gets me so fucked up. All the roommates are just crowding around me laughing because I'm crawling on the floor just to get to the bathroom so I can take a piss. And I didn't even get to the bathroom. I ended up in the kitchen. And I'm like, shit. And they're like, ah. They're dying. They had their fun.
Right.
But that was my first time. And after that, I was actually like, I'm never doing this again. Fuck it. And that didn't turn out too well.
Well, my first time ever drinking, well, actually, my first time ever drinking was with you. And it's kind of embarrassing because we lived together.
We
at
lived
the time,
together.
And I was still in my drinking's bad
phase. Yeah, I was liberal about drinking, but Kyle was very strict about it.
Yeah, and you were bringing home beers.
Yep.
It's just beers.
Just beer.
But I was in this mindset, and I would say, like, you'd bring home beer, and I'd say, oh, more fag juice.
Yep, every time I grabbed fucking beer.
I called
beers,
it fag juice.
And do you want a cherry Coke, or do you want a fag juice?
Right.
Faggot.
I still like cherry Coke better, but cherry Coke won't get you drunk. But, so...
I finally got Kyle to drink a beer.
I decided...
I'm like, dude, you can't judge it unless you try it.
I decided I was going to try it. Because I'd honestly, in my own head, nobody knew this, but I'd been very curious about it for a while.
Yeah.
And I'd been really wrestling with the whole thing in my head, but outwardly, I'd been like, oh, fuck you guys, drinking stupid.
Yeah, you had that.
So, I tried a beer. I tried one beer, and I think it was a Stroh's.
Yep, I bought a 30-pack of Stroh's, and I gave Kyle a beer.
It was like a 12-ounce can of Stroh's.
Just one beer.
And I had one beer, and I finished it. And I wasn't wasted or anything, but I was such a lightweight that I was buzzed, and I would not stop talking.
He wouldn't
talking.
Shut the fuck up
I
all night.
I would not stop
Dude,
talking.
Dude, I feel good. Do you feel good? I feel funny.
Yeah.
Oh. And he's just describing, we're trying to go to bed. Well, he wasn't, but we're lying in bed.
Right.
In our room.
It does feel different.
And
I definitely feel different.
He's just, you know, convincing himself it's okay.
Is this what it feels like to you? This is what it feels like to me.
And I couldn't sleep, and I'm just sitting there like, oh, man. Because by that point, I had already had that experience where I'm like just talking everybody's ear off about how I felt.
I felt like such a douche later.
No, everybody has that moment. I'm glad I got to witness.
But my first real time drinking, because that was like the first
time
I'd ever
beer,
really tried
it,
but it was one beer. My first real time drinking was New Year's Eve when I was 22. My not then girlfriend, but the one that dumped me later.
Yeah.
This was before we were going out. She came over and some other people came over and we were playing shot glass checkers.
Mm.
And if you don't know what shot glass checkers is, because I didn't know before this, it's checkers. But instead of checker pieces, you've got shot glasses.
Shot glasses. Yeah.
And if you, I forget how it worked exactly. Like if you jump somebody's piece and take their piece.
Yeah, instead of taking the piece off, you got to do the shot.
I think the other person would have to do the shot. Like, if you steal their piece, they would have
well,
to do the shot.
Well, that would make sense.
That would make the most sense.
Otherwise,
I don't really remember, but I remember all these little shot glasses were full of vodka. Like, half of them were full of vodka and Coke, and half of them were full of just vodka, so we could tell the difference.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I lost at shot glass checkers. And I had tons of shots of vodka, and then we were still drinking. I'm lucky I didn't puke that time, because I was really, really a lightweight at that point.
I'm amazed that's your first time and you didn't fucking throw up.
Yeah, I'd been doing shots of vodka all night and I was fine.
Oh my God.
But I was wasted. Like, I've definitely been more drunk since then, but like, considering this was my first real time drunk, I was wasted. And I was singing to people and I wouldn't stop talking.
Who was all over? Was it just you and her?
It was me and her
and like another friend
and like three or four other people.
It's like a party going. Okay.
A little party, a small party.
What made you decide I'm gonna do this?
Same thing I said about when I tried the beer. I'd been wrestling with it in my own head for a long time. I really want to try this, but I've always told everybody that I'm very much against it. I can't can't just change my mind, can I?
Yeah.
Eventually I decided, yes, I can.
Yeah.
So I decided this was going to be the night I was going to do it. And I let that girl that ended up becoming my girlfriend, I let her break my alcohol cherry, so to speak. And
did you break her chair that night?
No, I did not. I'm a gentleman. We fell asleep on the couch. Everybody else went home. We fell asleep on the couch. And we woke up the next morning a little hungover. Oh. And we watched movies all morning long. Actually, I watched movies and she slept.
Yeah.
But we sort of
hungover, watch movies, watch TV, just sit in bed.
Yeah. Another good story, though. I don't know if it's a good story, but for your girlfriend's birthday last year, we went to...
I almost forgot.
We went to a bar. It was sort of a club kind of bar.
It was more like a club. I guess they called it a club.
Yeah, they had a big dance floor, and we're all there, and we're drinking. And I keep going up to the bar and getting like 5 bottles of like Miller Lite or something.
Yeah, the group and I and Kyle, it's mostly a dance floor, and they're playing, you know, club music and hip hop and
right.
So I guess you'd call it a club, but we're mainly on the dance floor, and Kyle kept disappearing and then reappearing with all these fucking beers.
And to my credit, I'm pretty sure I gave some of them away.
Yes, you did. At that night,
like, anybody who need a beer?
Yeah,
everybody would grab
a beer. Yeah,
but I kept going and getting like 5 at a time.
You kept drinking your beer like superhumanly fast, and then you'd run to the bar again and come back with more. And we're like, dude, I just started this. All right, I'll take another one.
Right.
And I think at some point you probably ended up drinking, you know, more beers than you intended to buy for yourself.
So. Yeah. Well, once I get past a certain point, I don't know when to stop.
Yeah.
And we're hanging out on the dance floor. We're not really dancing, but we're hanging out like near the dance floor. And we're getting drunk. And I'm pretty buzzed at this point. And this girl comes up. They had these helium balloons.
Gorgeous girl.
This isn't even, I don't even know. But they had these helium balloons. And I grabbed one and I was playing with it and stuff. And this hot chick comes up and she's like, hey, you want to pop it? I'm like, well, I guess. I mean, I was playing with it. It's probably not going to be that much fun to play with afterwards. But if you want to pop it, I guess we can pop it. So, and I didn't know what she meant, you know, like, you want to pop it?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you mean?
Grab a needle.
So I said, okay. And she grabbed the balloon and held it between us. And we kind of hugged and popped it between our bodies.
I was across the dance floor and I saw this going on. I'm like, what the fuck?
And then she was like, ha ha, that was fun. And then she walked away.
That was it.
I still don't really know what to make of that, but that's not even really the story. So I kept getting drunk. I kept getting more and more drinks, and at some point I lost track of everybody, and I met these two girls, and in hindsight, they were kind of homely girls, but I was wasted, and I was getting drinks at the bar, and they were kind of behind me, and they wanted to get drinks at the bar, but the bar was really crowded, and they were having trouble getting up there, and I was like, hey, you want me to get you a drink? I can get you a drink. I know how to get drinks. Like, and so they're like, yeah, you should get us a drink. And we're kind of hanging out. And so I went up to the bar and I'm getting them drinks. And
yeah,
and,
well, at this point, the group had left.
See, I didn't know that, though. Nobody told
me. Yeah, nobody came to find Kyle.
They
left
the
building
and I was still in there.
Yeah, at this point, we're like, okay, we're going to go. And we left. We got outside. And after you're outside, you can't really get back in. They don't stamp your hand or anything.
Right.
So we're all outside and we're like, where's Kyle? Oh, shit, he's still inside. So one of our friends had to convince, you know, the bouncers, I got to go in and find my friend. So he goes in. He's there for a while. And then he calls me and goes, Kyle's drunk. You need to come in here and assist me to get him out because he's going to get kicked out.
Right.
But prior to him calling me, Kyle, take it away.
I don't know the whole timeline. I don't know if this was prior to him calling you or not. Because all I know is what happened was I was at the bar getting these girls drinks. I think I got them their drinks. And then I'm talking to them. And maybe I went to order more drinks. I don't know. But I know I puked all over the bar and a little bit on the bartender, who was a hot chick. And I'm still standing there talking to these chicks. And all of a sudden, our friend comes in to find me.
Yep.
And he's like, hey, Kyle, we got to go. We got to go. Everybody's outside. And I said, I will punch you in the face. And I don't know how serious I was because I don't remember any of that. But that's what I heard I said. I will punch you in the face.
Yeah, and I think right after that point, I showed up And I walk up to Kyle and our friend's with him. You know, he's holding him like, oh, we got to get this drunk out of here. Can you help me? And I swear to God, Kyle had fucking blood all over his head.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I thought you had broken like a beer bottle, cut your head open like, I'm so drunk. I don't know what the fuck was happening, but I knew I had this feeling that the bouncers were looking for you and you were going to get kicked out. Getting some trouble or something. Right. I don't know what you did, but I saw blood.
Which wasn't blood, by the way. I don't know for sure because when I woke up the next day, there was nothing on me.
No cuts, yeah.
There was nothing on me. No cuts.
Yeah, it's a big mystery.
No dried blood. No dried vomit. The only thing I can think is it must have been vomit that somehow got on my head. But you said it was on my forehead.
It was on your forehead, yeah.
I don't know. But the next morning, there was nothing on my forehead. There were no cuts on me anywhere. And I couldn't remember leaving the bar.
Yeah.
And I had to hear about it later. And you guys said, you finally pulled me out of the bar.
Yep.
And I got a ride home. And I puked in my ride home. And we were supposed to go. I remembered this. We were supposed to go to another person's house.
Yeah, to like.
And I remember getting up the next day and like calling you guys or seeing you guys and going, did we end up going to that house?
Yeah.
Because I couldn't remember.
No, we dropped your ass off.
And you were like, yeah, you were like, you didn't. We did.
Yeah, and before we dropped you off, you were in the car, speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
And you threw up again.
Right.
But this time it was clear, thank God. I carried you. I didn't carry you. I got you to your apartment. I put you to bed.
Right.
Said, have a good night. Ran up to my apartment because at this point we lived, you know.
In the same building.
In the same building. Grabbed some cleaning supplies and I went down and cleaned the car.
Yeah.
And we went from there.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot better, but I was kind of an asshole for a while about puking on other people's shit.
It just kept happening. Yeah, it became your reputation.
There was another time I was at somebody's house and I'd never been to this house before and I didn't know the people very well. So I was getting drunk extra fast because I was uncomfortable.
Yep.
And we were playing Truth or Dare and it was fun. We were having a good time, and at some point, I felt like I had to throw up, so I got up, and I ran across the kitchen, because, like, the kitchen was on the way to the bathroom,
yeah.
And I did the same thing I did at your apartment that one time. I puked and fell over. So all over the kitchen floor is my vomit, and I'm laying, like, half in it on the floor. And I was so sorry, but they ended up cleaning it up for me and like kind of shuffling me back over into the living room. I've done that a lot. I don't do it anymore, but done that a lot.
You are a fucking rock star.
Man.
Kyle's the man.
Hey, breaking news.
Yeah, yeah.
The Octomom, Nadia Sulman.
Nadia Sulman.
I'm sure you've all heard of her by now.
That fucking bitch.
This bitch that had 8 babies, already had 6 babies to begin with, so she's got a total of 14.
14 fucking babies.
No husband, no boyfriend.
No job.
No job. Lives with her mom.
Lives with her mom.
Not that there's anything wrong with being a single mother, but a single mother of 14 kids on purpose? Kind of fucked up. But anyway, the newest development in her story is that major porn distributor Vivid Entertainment has just offered her $1 million to star.
$1 million.
$1 million to star in a porno movie.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like the worst porno movie ever to me, but they've also sweetened the deal by telling her that if she's willing to become a contract girl, meaning she'll have to do more than one video, they're willing to give her all of her children, her whole family, full medical and dental insurance. Now, people are already talking shit about Nadia Sulman, and rightly so, but I figure she should just do it. I mean, what are they going to do, talk more shit?
Yeah, she lives with her mom. They're about to foreclose the fucking house. She'll be homeless. She has all these kids.
Yeah, they could absolutely use the money. And I mean, she's got a publicist now and stuff. She's trying to work on book deals. She's obviously into the attention.
Yes.
So I don't think this is that much of a stretch, to be honest.
Yeah.
She's not the hottest chick in the world. I mean, she's got an okay face, I guess, but she's, I don't know. But you know what? I mean, even so, I'd probably watch it.
I would. Definitely.
If they put
it.
This thing out, I don't think I'd be able to help myself. My curiosity would get the better of me.
I hope it was like, you know, like a white and black porno and somebody would tear her ass up.
Oh, you mean, I see, I thought you meant black and white, like as in, like an art film.
No.
You meant like,
I mean like the Anaconda.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tearing it up. I want to see her bleed.
And you know, she's got that face. She looks like she's probably into anal. So, you know. I'm sure she's up for whatever.
Yeah. I'm awaiting her decision because.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to put out
what
some kind of.
What the fuck is she going to do?
They're going to put out some kind of statement. There's no way she's just going to ignore it.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
She loves the attention. She's got to keep herself in the news.
Yep.
So she's got to put out some kind of statement.
Yep.
And I'm hoping that statement is fuck yeah. Well, anyway, we're having a little bit of a problem with iTunes.
Yeah, fucking iTunes.
I don't know if you remember. If you listen to the first episode, at the end of it, I was like, oh, well, you can find us on iTunes, hopefully, by the time this goes up. Well, the reason I said that was because I had submitted the show, the feed, to iTunes. And iTunes waited a few days and got back to me and said, oh, there's something wrong with your feed. There's something wrong with your RSS feed. It's not properly formed.
Technicalities. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some kind of technical issue. They didn't tell me what it was specifically, but they gave me a couple of options on how to figure out if my feed was okay. They suggested that I put the feed through feedvalidator.org, where you just go in and you plug the feed in and it tells you if your feed is valid.
Which it did.
Which
said
I
it was
did,
fine.
And it did. It said it was fine. Everything was good. And the other thing they told me to do was to go into iTunes, go into the advanced tab and subscribe to the show manually. And if I could download the episodes, then everything was fine. And I did that, and I could. So everything is fine according to what they've told me to do.
Yeah.
I submitted the feed again, and I waited days and days and days, and they never got back to me. And I got kind of curious because it didn't take this long the first time. So I went into iTunes again, resubmitted the feed just today, and they let me do it.
And
they
let you do it.
And the first time I submitted the feed, I wasn't sure if I did it right, so I submitted it twice. And the second time I did it, it told me I'd already submitted. So I know.
So it's like they never even got
it. So I know it knows. You know, it knows if it's already been submitted and if it's pending approval. So this time when I submitted it and it let me do it, that means they already shot it down the second time and just didn't tell me.
Yep.
So if anybody has any idea of what could possibly be wrong with our RSS feed,
any ideas, please.
Any ideas at all, because I can't figure it out. I'm not a real technical guy. No idea. But it'd be way more convenient for people if we could actually get the show up in the iTunes store. And it'd help us, I think, too, because people, you know, would be browsing through there and maybe they'd stumble upon it. We don't have a whole lot of listeners yet, and we'd like to increase our listener base. So if anybody has any ideas about that,
just let us know. Email us at
Kyle@IJustHadATerribleThought.com
and Orion@IJustHadATerribleThought.com.
And kind of in the same vein, while we're talking about emailing us things, I wanted to mention that on the last show, we got a suggestion in the email.
The guy fucking cars.
The guy that fucks cars. That story was sent to us. And I forgot to mention that last time. And I wanted to bring that up because we would appreciate your suggestions. We haven't been getting a lot of email, and we would appreciate it if you're listening, you have any idea what we should talk about, or if you want to comment or what we've already talked about.
Anything.
You want us to bring up a certain topic? You want
drunk
us to bring
stories,
up a certain,
masturbation stories.
Yeah, if you want to comment,
get
you've got
filthy
stories
with
of your
it.
Own that are like our that are on the same subject as our stories.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like some suggestions for the website. Like I've been thinking about maybe putting up a forum, but I don't know how many listeners we've got. I know we've got at least a couple, like Marleykins I saw in the comments.
Marleykins
has been listening to our episodes. I think another one named Aileen has been listening. And we appreciate you listening, but we don't know how many people we've actually got listening. And I don't know if it'd be worth putting up a forum. Would people post in it? I don't know.
Yeah, we need some input.
And, you know, we thought about maybe getting a voicemail line so people could call in. We don't do a live show, so you couldn't call in during the show, but we could play your voicemails on the air or whatever. So let us know if there's anything like that you'd like to see on the website. I think that's pretty much going to wrap it up for today. Thanks for listening to I Just Had a Terrible Thought. Email us at Kyle@IJustHadATerribleThought.com.
And Orion@IJustHadATerribleThought.com. I'm drunk, dude. You're not going to throw up on me, are you?
I'm going to try not to.
We'll catch you later.